Thank you for listening to this message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa. Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and equipped to do His will more fervently.
Good morning, everybody. It's an absolute privilege. I love preaching here. It's my favorite place in the world to preach. And I'm really excited to be here this morning. Thank you to the elders and for the opportunity and for trusting me. I want to launch straight in and not waste any time this morning. As I've probably told you a million times, as my good friend Andrew Dodge laughs, he says, yes, we know you from Zimbabwe, but I am a Zimbabwean to the core. I still weep when we lost to New Zealand by that record margin in the cricket, if anyone watched it. I'm not sure if anyone did, but I did. I'm a Zimbabwean still. But as I said, I grew up in Zimbabwe, and we were by no means a rich family, but we never were without. But I want to tell you that we have a state television channel called ZBC, Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation. It is the one channel, and from most of the day it's propaganda, and every now and again it's a little bit of old TV shows that finished running in the 80s, have those wedged in there, and a couple cheap Chinese cartoons as well, if you're lucky. But mainly propaganda, so we didn't really turn on the TV that much. But for some reason, SABC, the South African Broadcasting Corporation, for about a couple of years, started allowing free feed to come into Zimbabwe. And so for a long time, we had SABC 1, 2, and 3. And if anyone remembers Bop TV, we had that for a while. Oh, the good old days, the glory days. And this was the days of MTN Gladiators on a Friday night, 7 o'clock, Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, all the Police Academy. We all know them. We all tuned in at 7 o'clock. These were the days of Izzy Dingo when Clint, I don't know if anyone watched Izzy Dingo in those days, when Clint, before he was an insurance advert guy. Anyone? No one? I'm a faithful fan. My mouth gets dry just thinking of those days. But these were exciting times for us. But there was this mystical thing that we had heard of. We not experienced it too much, but we had heard of this thing called DSTV. Whew, this thing kept us up at night going, sure, does it exist? Is it real? That there's endless channels that you can interact with it and press OK and get sports results. No, it can't be. It's an old wives' tale. It's a myth. Until one day it arrived in Zimbabwe, and only the wealthy got it. So you had to make wealthy friends just to go and watch the game. Phone them. Could we come over and watch the game, please? And that was but you'd go and watch the Springboks win. We'd cheer them on. Yes, we were closet Springbok supporters in Zimbabwe because our rugby team was poor. And we liked a good win every now and again. So we did that. But we'd go and watch, you'd have to make plans to go and watch these games. But we could never imagine that this would be in our house. I'll tell you, the Phillips family, we never dreamt that one day we might have DSTV in our home. This was a foreign concept. Nah, doesn't match up. Until one day, my dad came home with excitement and we were like, Dad, what's wrong? What's happened? No, guys, I want to tell you. I've been saving. It's the Cricket World Cup 2003 coming up. I'm going to buy you guys DSTV. Can you tell you, it was like pandemonium in the house. The boys' shirts were off. We're like, no way, this is ridiculous. Cannot be. And we were so excited. They came and they set up our satellites. They told us, no, there's no way on our house to get the signal. So we were devastated, stumped by this. But my gran, who was there almost even more determined to get DSTV, told us, it was on the day when my parents would work, said, those trees, they can go. Cut them. I promise you, we phoned up while my parents were away. The guys came and chopped down our massive trees that had been there for centuries. Getting the signal. So much so, my dad's an avid gardener. He came home that night, devastated, where his trees had gone. Couldn't believe now we see straight into the neighbor's garden. It was, in retrospect, a poor move. But we were desperate and excited to have DSTV in our home. And that night, as the, searching for signal, there was a hush came over the Phillips family. You all know that one, eh? After a storm, when you turn the TV off and back on. And there, it popped up, and we could not believe we could watch a million channels. We were ecstatic. It was excitement. What happened next was that news of the Phillips family's fortunes spread down the street, Hazeldene Road in Harare, and soon we were getting the phone calls. We were the popular ones. The rugby match this Sunday, what are you guys watching? Come on over. And the doors were opened. We invited for anything. Kids, come and watch Cartoon Network. We were thinking of charging at one stage, but we found that was illegal, so we didn't. But we were so excited, and there was such a thrill in our hearts. And in the street, everyone celebrated and benefited from the Phillips King DSTV. And this morning, I want to launch off this morning, wanting to say the title of my preach this morning, like DSTV's slogan, is that there's so much more. Oh, you can write that one down. It's great. There's so much more. Wally last week launched us Don't worry about the slide. I'll do the slide. Thank you. You can black that out. Black it up. There we go. The power, the authority. But as Wally launched us off last week, if you were here, it was just, he stirred our hearts for this great salvation. And that the theme of salvation that we have limited and become just quite a sterile thing, like a legal transaction, opened it up. And we are launching in a journey where we're wanting to see that what is in our hearts become a set on fire, what little faith we have, become massive and become a burning flame that changes the world. If you haven't noticed, our church name is Life Changers. It hasn't changed. That's what we believe. We believe 100% that we are here on a mission with Jesus Christ. And a famous guy called Winston Churchill, you may have heard of him. You may have heard of him. Prime Minister of Great Britain in the Second World War. He made a famous speech, the "We'll Fight Them on the Beaches" speech. Now he said this: "We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." This famous speech he did. And as Great Britain galvanized a nation rose up and they went and they defeated, they won the war, celebrated. And years later, commentators came to Winston Churchill and said, "Mr. Churchill, how did one simple speech galvanize an entire nation to war? How did it do that?" And Winston Churchill said something so profound. He said this: "The heart of the lion was always in England. I just had the opportunity to roar." So this morning, I find it the absolute privilege, and I want to convince you that the heart of the Lion of Judah has always been in the people of Life Changers. But I have the absolute privilege this morning to roar and call out the roar of God in you for this great salvation that He has placed in us. So my aim this morning is to convince you that this is a great salvation. I hope you're easily convinced. Good. Wonderful. So turn in your Bibles anywhere. Open your Bibles anywhere because they're all good. But most importantly, open your heart. We're going to pray. Father, I pray right now, God, for your Holy Spirit to fall. Fall upon us today, Lord. We must have Jesus. We must have Jesus. Father, more than eloquent words, more than humorous stories, we want Jesus. Lord, we will not be satisfied until we have Him. Amen. Right. The first point, maybe you can do it, so I apologize. There we go. The first point is this, the call. And I want to convince you of the call of God on your life. That what Jesus did, this thing of the calling you out of death into life, was by no means a small thing. As I often do, so in the book of Genesis, and I want to tell you what did not happen at the beginning. God, as He created man and woman, and the true idiot of the style, to get through the story very quickly, God said, "No, don't touch the fruit." Satan said, "Come on, have some fruit, come on, it's a good idea." Eve goes, "Why not?" And Adam, the poop man, just goes, "All right," and goes along with it. That's the story to bring you up to speed. What happened, okay? You're with me? Good. I want to tell you what happened. As sin entered the world, what did not happen in heaven was that God the Father was standing there and the Holy Spirit said, "Oh, God the Father, you better come check this out. You don't know what they're getting up to." "No, what? No ways. I knew they'd touch the tree. I just knew it. Man, they're just so predictable." And Jesus goes, "Right, round table in 3 minutes. Crisis meeting, guys." She's like, "Oh, all right." Jesus comes, Holy Spirit, God the Father, round the circle. Gets, "Bring the whiteboard as well. We're going to work this thing out. How are we going to restore the situation? It is terrible. What has happened?" So this is not what happened. So don't write this stuff down. But I can imagine then they're saying, they're going, cool. Any ideas? They're spitball. No ideas. A bad idea. Come on, guys. Come on, Holy Spirit. You're the creative one. Come with ideas." And they go, "I know. Let's send a flood. Kill them all. Start again. I like that one. Good idea. That's right. Good. We'll work from there. We'll move on. What if we send some judges or some prophets just to tell them how useless they are and to point back to us? Ah, we're onto something. And then they go, 400 years of silence. That is brilliant. Between the testaments, that'll teach them to listen out for us. We need 400 years of silence. Brilliant." And then they go, God the Father, I've got an idea. This might seem crazy at first, guys, but Jesus says, "Hang on, stay, bear with me." And He starts doing the plays and the movies, the scene speeds up, and they're like, "Oh, wow, brilliant." And they sort of say, "And we'll call that substitutionary atonement. Brilliant, brilliant." Says, and a justification. They're throwing all these ideas. They go, "We've got it. We've got a great idea to restore man's fault." No, that's not what happened. I want to tell you that God is not a reactionary God. He's not a God that was taken by surprise. This plan of salvation was not, Jesus was not like, oh no, something's happened. Let's throw him in here somewhere at a convenient time to restore this situation. I want to suggest to you something very theologically profound this morning, that once, if it grips our hearts, we will never be the same. Is this. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, the Lamb of God was slain before the creation of the world. Okay? This is a bit complex, so stick with me. We all know our timeline. God created night and day to govern us. God is not governed by night and day. He is outside our time and space continuum. If you're a fan of science fiction, that word just pops up often. But our timeline, our brief existence of creation, of earth, there, fits in that box there. The realm of eternity is not a realm that starts after we die and that maybe went on before. It's totally other. It's the realm where God exists. It is not confined or does not contain, it contains our existence. It's not confined to our conditions. Stick with me here. So we've got that time to creation. Before that, eternity past, Christ was slain here in God's heartbeat. He killed Jesus then for the sins of the world to restore man back to him over here. Hectic, eh? But it actually happened here. No, in God's heart it happened way before. This was not a reaction. Another scripture that to help with your maths a little bit is this. As Andrew read from Ephesians 1, you were chosen in Christ before the creation of the world. Hang on. My existence, Gabriel Phillips here, in this timeline. In the realm of eternity, Christ was slain here. I was chosen here before creation. This is profound. This should shape up. This should wow us incredibly here. And this is my point. And everyone, you may sit, every religious bone in your body might prick up at this. Salvation, God's salvation to you, was not primarily about sin. Okay. If He saved us, if He died for our sins and chose us before the creation of the world, and when He birthed creation, He birthed it out of relationship, an overflow of relationship with the Trinity into Adam and Eve. And if we all agree God is not a reactionary God who did not see the sin thing coming, the purpose of salvation is primarily not about your sin. Wow. Okay. I want to say that we have limited Christianity about our sin, whether we are sinning or not. How are you doing? Sit outside a table with somebody. How are you doing in your walk with God? I've stopped this. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm still struggling with this. Oh, I'll pray for you, brother. That is not salvation. That's a self-help thing. How to become a better person. Salvation was not primarily about our sin. If it is, if it was, if it's all about our sin, Satan has won. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants Christianity to be limited to whether we are sinning or not. And the extent of our influence is whether I'm feeling good or not. Because that keeps our eyes on him, on his sin, on his tactics, when our eyes are supposed to be fixed on our victorious king who defeated sin at the cross. You can clap there if you want. Right. Because I want to tell you that Christians are more sin conscious than the sinners. Do you know that? I found Christians are more sin conscious. They're either feeling guilty and feeling even worse about themselves. I don't know what I've done. You're my word, walking around muttering to themselves. Or they're making others feel guilty. We're the connoisseurs of sin and guilt. Christians, if that is the extent, we have missed the plot. There is so much more. So much more to this thing than you could ever first imagine. I will tell you, the main purpose of Christ's rescue mission to earth was to restore relationship back to the Father. It is all about relationship. Relationship, full stop, relationship. I tell you, I just heard a testimony in a church, quite a wild church, guys who had got saved, radical guys in the community who were notorious sinners. You know, the people knew, if they get saved, God can do anything. And they got saved. And it was huge rejoicing in the church. I could not believe these guys had come alive. And they shared their testimony. And while they're sharing their testimony, the very next Sunday, while they were describing God, they were using expletives in their sinful, and they still hadn't been sanctified yet. So they were using expletives and swears to describe God. God is amazing. And can you imagine what they would do if someone shared that testimony here? We'll go, not in church. Not in church. And there was a guy in this church there, a good friend of mine, who was like what the heck? This can't be right. And he went up to the pastor after and said, what are you doing allowing these guys to talk? And he said, bud, you've missed the plot. If we understand salvation, last week these guys were dead. They had no hope. They were bound for hell. This week they're alive. They're alive. And the thing that Christians hear, he swore. Come on. Get them out of here. No, no, no. What we are dealing with, there's two kinds of people in this world. Dead people and alive people. This morning, I want to ask you, are you dead or alive? Because there's no good, sort of good, maybe half good, very good, and Wally. No. There is dead or alive. That is the crux of the gospel. And this needs to beat in our hearts. And we need to ask the question, am I alive or am I dead to this thing? Because if you're alive, I tell you there's a huge difference than being dead. A huge difference. Go to a wedding or a funeral. Which party is more fun? Not to be crass, but truth. Right, I want to tell you that people who are convinced that they are secure in their relationship with the Father, they know that's not based on performance. It's based on His performance, that He did everything. Can I tell you the scriptures that said that while you were dead, Christ saved you. When I was dead, there was nothing I could do. I tell you, if there's a dead person, there's nothing they can do. Theological point. Dead people can't do anything. Christ came. It says, while we were enemies of God, He called out to us. It says, His kindness leads us to repentance. I want to tell you that the grace of God is working in your life before you even know Him. How good is God? He doesn't even leave you and says, try and find me. No. He says, here I am, and I'm calling you, I'm drawing you, I'm leading you. Turn to me. Christ loves us. How exciting is that? Anyway, moving on. I want to tell you, if we can put the little thing here, little tagline, secure people are contagious people. Sit with somebody who is secure in who they are, the confident people who look you in the eye, even if it's in a worldly sense. People want to be like them. People want to be around the secure, confident people. Can I tell you, as Christians, when we know who we are in Christ Jesus, when we know that we were once dead, we are alive. That we have the life of Christ beating in us. Oh, that is contagious. Can I tell you, you sit with somebody who loves Jesus passionately, you look in their eyes, you leave that table, they don't have to tell you one thing to do, you leave there going, I need to go love God more. Flip. Have anyone had that before? I often have that. It's like, oh my word. I need to go read the Bible, I need to worship, I need to love Jesus, because just looked in his eyes, it's contagious. Tell you, if we want to change the world, if we want to impact our community, we need to have our hearts on fire for Jesus. People want that. People want in a world of lukewarm living, of everything, I not really want to commit marriage now, prenup, no, we don't actually, we just want to live together. No one wants to commit to anything these days. But can I tell you, in the heart of man, there's a desire to be alive. I tell you, we're not just called sinners saved by grace. We're not. There's that phrase, we're sinners by grace, saved by grace. Yes, but that's not the fullness of the picture. We are sons and daughters. God bestows on us the crown of sonship and daughtership. We're not just hanging on. I'm telling you, I'm not just going to make it through the gates of heaven. I'm running in to see my King face to face. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I tell you, thank goodness we're not like some other religions who are waiting one day for the measuring scales at the end of our lives. Oh, let's see it. And if you just say, hoping that, say, well, just as I died, I was walking an old lady across the road, then a car hit me, and they goes, oh, okay, that just tips it in your favor. Thank goodness. Phew, goodness for that last work. We're not waiting like that. As if my parents, when I left home, suddenly said, Gary, come sit here. You've lived here for 18, 19 years. It's going to tally up how much you owe us. School fees? Yeah? Varsity? All those meals, you know. No, lifts, petrol's expensive, you know. Let's go back, nappies. You went through them. You were crazy. No, man, if they did that, could you pay us back, please? My parents don't do that. They poured this out as a free gift to their son. Because I was a son. I'm not a boarder, not a lodger who's there has to pay some sort of thing. I'm a son. And that's who we are as Christians. But we live with this limited Christianity that we have to pay something back. That we have to, that's about sin. Or not sinning. It's about relationship with Him. How exciting, how amazing is that? I want to tell you that God not only just saves us, He gives us incredible stuff. The righteousness of God, just touch on this quickly, is that it's called, Martin Luther called it, the great exchange. Where Christ came, the cross of Christ, invaded our depravity by embracing our depravity. It's foolishness to the world that Christ lay aside his majesty. He said here, he said, I'm taking everything of yours. Everything. Everything. There's no alternative meaning to everything. He took it all upon himself. Took all upon our depravity and our debauchery and whatever other D you can think of. He took it upon himself. And not only that, he took off his sonship. He took everything that the Father said about him. Everything. How can we quote at baptisms, you are my son with whom I love? That's said about Jesus. Yes, but it's said about us, his adopted sons, because he took everything of him and placed it on us. In God's sight, you're seen as righteous. Righteous. This is good news. Moving on very swiftly. I want to tell you that, as I said at the beginning, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. Creation, Romans 8:15 says, all creation waits and groans for the sons and daughters to be revealed. Tell you, creation knows that we preceded it. That we were chosen in the heart of God. Creation knows this. And it's waiting. Will the sons and daughters of God rise up? Not the slaves. Not the workers. Not the co-workers of God. No, it says the sons and daughters. This thing is based in relationship with Him. It's not primarily about sin. I will tell you that Jesus' mission, His business card says this. Jesus Christ, to seek and save the lost. That was His mission. It has not changed. I want to tell you this morning, if you're here and your heart is not alive to Jesus, you're His primary target market. Just like me. I was lost. And He sought me out. He sought me out. He came after me. That song, I found Jesus, I didn't find Him. He found me. As if I stumbled, oh, religion, let's give that a try. Jesus. No. He found me and rescued me from death. He came in and rescued me. It was incredible. Anyway, moving on very quickly. Yeah, Jesus came to seek and save the lost, .. And his primary motive wasn't to show us a better way to live, as some people say. It wasn't just to show us a model of, this is how to do it. You know, how to live life as a person. You know, try and extract some good thoughts about how not to sin more. No, Jesus' primary motive came to die. That is the gospel. It's a gospel that embraces death and suffering. It embraces that. Doesn't hide from it. And I want to tell you, point number two, as we throw it up, the charge, you're on fire, is just like Jesus. Our mission is to seek and save the lost. How are we doing that? By dying to ourselves every day. Death is at work in my body, as Paul says. Death is at work in my body. It's the death of the Lord. I carry around the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in my body. It's not a heavy, this is a joyful thing. Come on. Cool. The tagline for this one is this, that secure people change the world. Secure people are contagious people. Secure people change the world. I want to tell you that this church, or church in general, is the only organization in the world that exists for its non-members. We do not do Sunday services for us. We do not do marriage courses for us. Yes, we want to shepherd people. Yes, and you will be shepherded here. But I want to tell you, the primary motive of this church is for our non-members, those who do not belong yet. Can I tell you, here's a thought, that the ark, they went two by two into the ark, a place of shelter, a place of safety, running from the storm, the flood, two by two the animals went in. Can I tell you, years later, Jesus sent out sons and daughters two by two with authority into the world to do his mission. Can I tell you, I want to say this church will be a place of safety, yes, where people can run in and say, I need help. But can I tell you, this is not a hospital. We're not a hospital where you lie here for your convenience for the next 30 years, just on life support. No, Jesus says you were dead, you're alive. Poof, mission. Welcome to the mission. You come in for restoration, you go out to restore. That is the purpose of this church. I want to tell you, I want to remind you, and I want to shout this out. We are at war. We are at war for the very souls of men and women. We don't want to play church. I tell you, I'm not a pastoral preacher in the least. I struggle. But I tell you, I'm not a theologian either. But I tell you what God's placed in me. I'm a revivalist. And I want to see the kingdom of God invade this planet Earth like never before. We are at war. And let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. We're fighting for the souls of men and women. I want to tell you a story that has gripped my heart and changed my life. That when I was in Durban just before I moved here, I was lying in the bath and the presence of God was there in the bathroom and I was reading a Reinhard Bonnke book, a hero of mine, and I just was weeping and weeping at stories of God's salvation and incredible works. And I was weeping and sobbing. And my mom, concerned mom, walked past the door, and she heard me crying, so she said, are you okay at the door? And I was like, yeah, I managed to get out, it's God. God's doing stuff. And my mom, who's quite perceptive, she started telling me a story about what happened once in a church that she once belonged to. She said that there was a husband, and he married his love of his life, true story, and on honeymoon, and everyone celebrated as they went off and cheered them as they drove out, just married. On the honeymoon, the wife contracted some disease and died, 24 hours. Dead. They'd been hardly married for 3 days. At the funeral a few weeks later, it was terrible. They were devastated. They could not believe how this thing. But at the funeral, the husband said, we're going to dress her up in a wedding dress, and we're going to have the casket open because we're going to trust that this woman's going to come alive. He was there and he sobbed over the casket and prayed. I want to tell you this, that she didn't come alive that day. But my mom says that there was, in the church, there wasn't a sense of despair. There was not a sense of hopelessness. Such faith rise in him. And mom said, I don't know why I'm telling you this story, but as she told me that story, what God said in my heart there, he said, that is what I did with you. You were dead, you're my bride, and I climbed into your coffin, and I breathed my life, and you, unlike her, came alive to my gospel. I started weeping as I understood the dramatic nature of my salvation. And then he whispered a secret into my ear, and that's what I've called you to do. To climb into the coffins of dead people. Metaphorically. To get to embrace the depravity of man. Just as the cross of Christ did not shy away from our brokenness. To embrace the depravity of man. We are not a clean-cut church. Shiny, smiling, happy people. We are people who weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We get inside the coffins and we have the authority of God to call to life that which is dead. I tell you, this is a question that's haunted me over the last week. Why are you alive? Good answer. But this, I want to say purpose-wise. Why are you alive? What reverberates in your heart? Is it to work for 50 weeks at a job you don't like? To get 2 weeks off and doing something so you can relax? That's the majority of the world. Gets up heavy heart every morning, doing a job they don't like, dreaming of the Maldives one day. What a waste of life. I want to tell you, as Ryan Matthews, a friend of mine, says, death to Sunday Christianity. If Jesus came for his sons, you'd make a nice Sunday church. That's not the fullness. That is not it. We are here exist. The Christianity that dresses themselves up to come to a Sunday and then just carry on with life as normal, Monday to Saturday. We've missed the plot. I want to tell you, skipping. They were really good points, but for time's sake. There's a guy called David Hogan who lives in the jungles of Mexico. And he's quite a controversial figure. But I just was reading a story this week. A guy who lives in a compound there and people come and visit him. And he sends out missionaries to go and change the world. And they've got reputed stories of dead people literally coming alive. Countless numbers of that. They see radical healings on numerous occasions. And he was invited, this wild living guy. They call him the gunslinger preacher. So he's a bit of a wild dude, you know, big beard and dresses tatty, but this stuff happens, you know. And they invited him to quite a prestigious church in America. Come and share some stories. And halfway through worship, he had enough. He just looked around. These people, I was in a church, but he might as well have been in a morgue. And he got up to preach and he said, I want to start off by saying, I'm David Hogan and you're a bunch of spoiled brats. Don't think he was invited back there, eh? But I want to tell you this. He makes a statement saying, stop asking for the power of God. Stop crying out, God, give us your power to do the task. Give us anointing. Come, just one touch, Holy Spirit. I believe what God is saying what do you want it for? David Hogan says, step out in faith and He will pour out his power. If you're doing something that requires the power of God, he will pour it out. We need to be no church. We've got the authority. We need to stop asking. We need to start stepping out. God has given us the authority. We're sons and daughters. We're not beggars. Please give us something. Break in, please. Yes, there's times for crying out to God. But we cry out with faith and assurance in our heart that he hears our prayers. And we step out. I want to tell you, as I land this thing here, that hell has invaded our earth. Hell has invaded our earth. And how has it done it? It's manifested in your next door neighbor. You're hearing the wife scream and fight and weep herself to sleep as you hear that happen every night as her husband abuses her husband leaves and drives out. Hell's invaded. Hell's invaded our offices where slander is rife, where gossip, where they just mock the boss behind his back, and we sit back and do nothing. Hell's invaded as we walk past the beggar who's pleading with his eyes for some kind of help and restitution. We sidestep him. Hell's invaded. But I want to tell you what the scripture says. The gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. Because do you know why? The church. The church. We are plan A for the world. We are plan A. Ephesians 3 verse 10. Check it out. We are it. Looking out at you guys sometimes, with your, all looking at me going, what is this guy saying? I get a little bit nervous about that. I'm like, oh no, surely not. But I'm convinced that we are it. We carry the life of God. Start stepping out and doing something. Okay. Anyway, I want to finish this off with the last point, and I'll be very quick with it. The chase. There's no tagline for that. Don't worry. Is this, that what God has set up, He set up a relentless pursuit of the King and His kingdom. He's calling us. He's starting a fire in us, not so we can only go and take the world. There's a mission, yes. But we do the mission by chasing after our King with everything, because He has everything we need in life and godliness. We go after Him, and His kingdom will come. I want to tell you that I must have Jesus. I must have Jesus. If the presence of God was taken away from me now, I'd rather die. I must have Jesus. I want to tell you, Francis Chan, a famous preacher in America, he preached a sermon called Lukewarm. You can check it out. But he says, taking that scripture revelation that you're neither hot nor cold, so I spat you out of my mouth. He says, are you lukewarm today? And he says, if your answer is yes, what is your response to that? It should devastate you that you're lukewarm. He says, we take off a day off. We'll take a day off because a family member is sick, or we need to go fill up some tax forms. We'll take a day off very readily. But he said, if you're lukewarm today and your heart is not on fire for the King and His kingdom, take tomorrow off. Get your heart on fire, because this is the most important thing you'll ever do. This is it. I want to tell you, Matthew 13, if we go to the next slide, the scripture there, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. I tell you now, there are people in this church who are going to give up their jobs and go to nations where they have not heard the gospel, and they'll never come back. There are people here who will sell businesses at the people will go, what are you doing? They'll sell businesses for the kingdom of God. There are people who will lay their lives down, who will have people in their home night after night. There are people who will say, I will have a home group in my home. Though it will inconvenience me, I will lead a home group so that the kingdom of God can come. I will serve. I will lay down my life week after week in pouring teas so that the kingdom of God can come to people. I'll lay down my life by stepping out. I will sell everything. Not in a cultish way of going, oh, let's just do it, rally, let's get emotional. No, because we have seen the King and His kingdom. It is worth giving up everything for. We are at war. At wartime, it needs wartime measures. Wartime is not hoarding time. Wartime is giving away everything we have, because there's a mission that needs to be accomplished. I want to tell you as we finish, for DSCV to come in our homes, we did anything. We cut down the trees. We saved. It was a big thing for our Phillips family. I say it's a light-hearted story, but it was a big thing for us to get DSCV. But we went to any measure to get that thing in our home. I want to tell you that our Christianity, there's so much more. Tell you this morning, I pray that your hearts are stirred up and saying, I've decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. Because secure people are contagious people. Secure people change the world. We need to know who we are. The heart of the lion has always been in Life Changes Church. The heart of the Lion of Judah has always been in Life Changes Church. Now is the season to roar. Now is the season to roar. If you're stirred this morning as I finished. If you're stirred this morning, but before that, sorry. If you have never given your life to Jesus, I make no apologies about doing this. If you have never laid it on the line and said, I want to follow Jesus with everything I have, I realize that I have nothing of merit on my own. But I want Jesus, what you're talking about. If you've never done that, I want to tell you this morning that Christ is seeking you out. If that is you this morning and your heart is beating faster, with no heads bowed, I'd like just to raise your hand to say, Jesus, I'm in. if that's you. If you're stirred and you say, I don't want to leave, I want to tell you, this is wartime. You do not want to leave here without making this decision. If that is you this morning, please lift your hand to me and wave to me. I'd love to pray with you, to anyone. I make no apologies about doing this because this is the greatest moment, the greatest decision you'll ever make. If you're unsure this morning, do not leave here being half-hearted. Is there anyone? I'm going to wait just a few little bit seconds longer. Okay. No one. All right. Well, that means we're all saved. Great. Yay. Next week, there should be hands up. No. Anyway, if you're stirred and you say, I want my life to count, and the question that is, I pray, will haunt you, but in a good way, why are you alive? If that is you this morning, and you say, I'm all in. I'm all in for the mission of Christ. I'm not here to be mollycoddled. I'm not here to just lounge about. I don't come here to fulfill a religious duty. But I want to be in on this mission. To take the gospel to the four corners of the earth. I want to take the gospel to my office. To take the gospel to my school. To take the gospel to my next door neighbors. To live this thing out. To push back the gates of hell. If you're in for that, I'd love you to stand to your feet this morning. If that's you, can you lift your hands? Because there's no power in my prayer. We have faith in the name of Jesus. We have faith in the Holy Spirit that He's the God that comes and ignites our hearts. Father God, I pray for this army. You're raising up an end time army, God, who count their lives as nothing. Who count their lives as lost. You say, I will seek God with all my heart. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Father God, I prophesy right now over this congregation, God. Pioneers, missionaries, God, to the four corners of the earth, to missionaries to the city of Cape Town, to missionaries to the next door neighbors. I prophesy, Lord, Father God, that there are people whose hearts would burn. Did our hearts not burn within us when Jesus walked past us? Did our hearts not burn within us when Jesus spoke to us? I pray, God, will our hearts start burning this morning? Burning a radical fire that will not grow dim, that will not be just based on emotion, will not be based on the loudness of my voice. But I pray, God, that the fire in our hearts, that we would say, you are reestablishing in our hearts the mission of Christ Jesus. That the cry of our heart would be the King and His kingdom. And to the ends of the earth, I thank you, Jesus, that you have called us, you've made us alive, that this thing is the most dramatic thing that could ever happen to us. And you calling us, Life Changes Church, sons and daughters, will you get in the coffins of dead men and women? Would you embrace their suffering? Would you embrace their depravity? Not judge it. Not call them out on their sin. But point them to the Savior. I did not come primarily as a rescuer. As a good teacher. As somebody, as a lifeboat. I came as a Savior. Who will totally change your life forever. Jesus, ignite our hearts right now. I'm going to ask us, if that's you, can you cry out to God? Call on God, call on your Savior. To do this. This is a corporate word, but it's individual. Call on it. Say, God, and yeah, make decisions. Say, if I need to sell something, if I need to take a day off, if I need to tell people what about this thing in my heart, if I need to do something, whatever it is I need to do to just get my heart in gear in the mission, make that decision now. Father, help us do this. I thank you, Jesus. Father God, I thank you for salvation. I thank you for the mission of God. Send us out, God. Send us out with the fire, with the power, with the authority of Christ Jesus. We are sons and daughters and we love you. Amen. Can we thank God for salvation, for His goodness? Jesus. Love you, God.
For regular updates and more information about Life Changes Church, please visit our website, www.lifechanges.org.za. The Lord bless you.